Amen. It sure is good to see each of you tonight, and definitely appreciate you braving it out on a rainy night like tonight. It's putting down pretty good out there for sure, and a lot to be in prayer for, as we know, a lot going on in the church and our church family, and just want to say how much I appreciate everyone and what they're doing, and just hopping right in there and helping. That's how a church family is supposed to operate and work, and I definitely appreciate that. Let's keep the Hodges family in our prayer with the passing of Brother Jimmy. Brother Finley, I think a lot about him, and while I didn't attend church with him, we actually got to hold office together kind of the same time, and one of my favorite pictures is on the night of the election night, when things kind of thankfully went our way that night, and there's a picture in the paper, he and I together, and I'll never forget that. That was just a wonderful time, and Brandy even showed pulled up some photos of some other events that he and I were able to be together on, so that's a special memory there. And also, let's do keep the Hayes family in our prayers. I tell you, I've been thinking a lot about Brother Dale. He's my friend. I don't even know how else to say it. He's just my friend, you know. And always a kind word for me and support. And I don't know, you just don't forget things like that. And I got to spend some time with Miss Betty a little while ago and talked to her. She seemed to be in good spirits considering. And so let's do keep her in our prayers. There's no arrangements or anything like that's been made yet, of course, but they'll let us know when that comes together. But just what a special family, what a special time to look at as far as just recounting some memories and things together. Sometimes you don't know what to say. It's like I've told Brandy talking about things. Sometimes you just be there. You're just there for a person. But I can tell you with all honesty and sincerity, he wouldn't want to be back where we are now that he's experiencing what he's experiencing. But he would say, get here as soon as you can. Get here as soon as you can. You know, I was looking at it. You go back and you look, and I may mention this, you know, thinking about preparing for a funeral service and not even knowing what to say tonight necessarily, but when you go back and you read in Matthew where it's talking about this generation shall not pass until they see the Son of Man come, you know, I remember, I'm like, what in the world does that mean? How do you reconcile that? Because that time has come and gone, Sister Shirley. I mean, how do you reconcile that? And I remember asking preachers and talking to preachers, and they were talking about that this generation that saw Israel become a nation. You're talking about 1948. You think about 1948, if a person was born in 48, I'm going to mess up if I do the math. It's 70-something. And you think about that generation, Brother Ben, is fastly approaching. You think about it. And if the Lord's return, we're going to see the Son of Man's return before that generation passes. That's soon. That's soon. And just been thinking about that a lot. And I believe that our redemption does draw nigh. But a lot to be in prayer about, and we'll definitely go to the Lord in prayer afterwards. I definitely want to give time for our young people to have their class time. I think that's important on Wednesday nights, and to be able for them to have their time, and then us to have our time of study together. But if you'd like to, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to continue on in our study where we've been talking about marriage and divorce and remarriage, what have you, what the Bible says about it. But tonight's message really, you know, you can look at things on a positive note, or maybe on a negative note, so to speak. But when you look at what this is talking about, again, it's important that we remember the typology that it's referring to, what it's making reference to. And when we think about Christ being the groom of the church, and then us being the bride, then we should always keep that in mind in what he's talking about here. The Lord is never going to leave us nor forsake us. And he wants to keep that typology in our lives, and he gives us the gift of marriage to symbolize that. And then tonight you'll see some things here. And what I've always found interesting about this portion of Scripture is how part of it is Paul speaking, that God gave him consent to speak. And then the other part is God giving it by command. And so here's the thing, you know, I'll quickly say this and we'll pray and we'll get started. I believe with all my heart that Paul at one point in time was married before becoming a widower. And I believe that the reason I believe that, because when he's talking about living even as I, you say, oh, he was single. But number one, to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to have been a married person. You had to be a married man. But number two, I believe when the Lord allows us to speak from experience, that we have to have that experience. It's not hypothetical. He's given Paul, being a married person, he knew what it was like to be married, what it was like to love a woman, what it's like to lose a woman. And I believe that he was able to speak from that and give that, and the Lord allowed him to speak part of his opinion, if you will, or his experience, I believe is the best way to explain that or to give that. But let's read these verses here. We'll be, again, 1 Corinthians 7. We'll look at verses 10 through 16. I know that could go a little bit further before the break, but I wanted to stop there and, again, not really rush through things too much, but kind of slow down so we can follow it and really, really take note of how it's being read here so we can remember who is doing the talking and who he's talking to. So what it says here, verse number 10, it says, And unto the married I command, then he stops, he says, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. You see, there's another break there. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the believing depart, let him depart. If the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or what knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord. And Lord, I know there's a lot on our hearts tonight, many different things that are going on in our church family, and in our extended church family. God, we pray for the Hodges family tonight. We pray for the Hayes family and the others tonight that will be mentioned, the other objects, Lord, that will be mentioned later tonight. But God, I pray that you take this time of study, God, and I pray you bless it. I pray you help me. I pray that you hide me behind the cross, that you guide my mouth, Lord. I want to always stay in context, say what you'd have me to say, and just be silent when I shouldn't say anything at all. God, it's important that we teach and preach your word appropriately and accurately, God, not giving opinions and things, God, but just staying faithful to your word, trusting what it says, and abiding by what it says. But God, I pray that you help us tonight to understand it in the context that it was given to us, that we can learn from it, grow from it, and have a greater understanding. And Lord, also just grow closer to you in everything that's said and done. Lord, we pray also for those in our church that are lost. Pray that you touch and help them there, God. Help them see that need. Pray for our teachers that are going, that are working tonight with our young folks. God, I just thank you so much for those willing to do that. And what a blessing it is to see them do that and to hear what the young people are learning on Wednesday nights. God, I thank you for that. But Lord, go with us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I know you can look at it and say there's a lot of back and forth discourse that's giving here, but I think by the time you get to the end of it, you're really going to see what it's talking about is the testimony that remains in a family. The husband and wife unit, the testimony that is given there, the importance of it. I often think growing up and just growing up in church, not knowing anything any different, and just accepting the Lord and sometimes living a one foot in, one foot out life, that is not the way God intended it to be. Not in our daily lives as an individual, and absolutely not in our daily lives as husband and wife. I think about it like this a lot. Growing up with a couple of my real close friends, and they're going to church, and I thought for many years, one of them was saved. He'd made a profession when he's young, thought he was saved, you know, and as we got older and grew up together and just carrying on and what have you, and later to realize that he was lost and then accepted the Lord, it made me recount things in my life, like, man, I should have been a better witness. I should have been a better testimony. You know, there's not room to think, well, you know, I've got it, they've got it, and we can kind of just relax and just kind of carry on. It's easy. It's easy to be like that. One thing that if you really start studying the Bible and you really take it to heart that you are going to serve the Lord, you see Him as your Lord and Savior, your true Lord, and you want to follow Him, one thing you'll find out is, you know, some of the stuff just shouldn't fly. There's just no room for it. There's no space for it. You know, foolishness and things like that. I'm not saying we can't have a good time, but what you'll see in the Bible, it says in the Lord. And I believe our good time, Brother Allen, should be in the Lord too. And I think you'll see some things here tonight, what it's talking about. If we go back and we look just quickly, it talks about the permission that was given in verse number 6, and it says, "But speak I this permission, by permission, and not commandment." And so you see, again, there's some mixture there. You got to slow down and think about what it's saying and the importance of it, and not look at it from a perspective of how can I split the hair on this? How can I bend the law on this? You know, sometimes people will read the law book or what have you and try to find ways to, I guess loophole might be the better word, a loophole around something. But if you just take it plainly what it says, it will speak to you, and it's not hard. Because I hear a lot of times, what if, what if, what if, what if. I've heard people make the comment, say, well, I was young, my first marriage, I was young, and I didn't know what I was doing. I don't even count that marriage. God does. If you took that oath before God, God counts that marriage. That's the whole thing about taking an oath and making a vow and not breaking a vow. I've heard people say, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I've heard people say different things, and hard things and sad things do happen in life, but the Bible is pretty plain on what it says. And I want to say this too. When you go back and look at the Old Testament, how things were, sadly, a lot of times wives were more so looked at as servants versus an equal or a spouse. A lot of times they were kind of, you had a man might have multiple wives and one be the wife of the home that kind of takes care of the home, and one that might do more work outside of the home and things like that. And so kind of more so of a servant type situation. Whereas when you look at the way the Word of God brings it out, it's more so an equal or a part, a helpmeet. When you accept Christ, you no longer are a servant, but you become a son. And if a son, you become an heir. And if you become an heir, you're a joint heir with who? Jesus Christ. Which means that we rightfully have what He has. And not necessarily rightfully from our point of view, but that's the way Christ made it. And so when you see that typology and you look at it that way, the husband and the wife are supposed to be that way, supposed to love one another in that way. And it says, and to the married, we were talking about last week, talking about those who were not married. And Paul was saying, if you're not married, it's better to stay that way. But if you cannot contain, then get married, is what Paul was saying there. That's where we left off last time. And then tonight it says, unto the married, I command, and then it switches over, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. And then you see what it says there, what after that, it goes into the colon there, but it's a command. The wife is not supposed to leave the husband. That's the stop. There's no splitting hairs. There's no looking for loopholes there. And then it goes on to say, but the Lord knows how we are. If you go back and look at the law of divorcement and how that's written, because that was the hardness of our hearts. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried. You see the commandment that's given. That's what it's saying there. Be unmarried, remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. So you see how it's supposed to take place. Somebody decides to leave, the wife in this case decides to leave, she's to remain unmarried. If she decides to want to get married again, then she's supposed to reconcile to the husband that she was married to before. This is what the Bible teaches. And let not the husband put away his wife. So that doesn't, it's equal on both sides. It's not a one-sided thing. It's equal on both sides, the way it teaches. And then he goes on to verse, look at this right here. I'll stop and read here. Malachi 2:16 quickly. It says, he hateth putting away. We can't go back. You can't look at these verses and think they do away with other verses. They don't. They work in concert with. They go right along with it. So you don't just abandon other verses of Scripture that we read. You put it together. Look at, reminded of Matthew 19:6. It says, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let not man take apart, pull apart. And I tell you, sometimes it takes a lot of reconciling to put things back together. I can only imagine sometimes situations that people are in, but I can only give you the Word of God. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it's what God says. That's why I try not to get loose with some of these things, and I just stay right with what the Bible says, and then we take it up with the Lord. And I prayed a lot about this. Lord, just help us to take it the way that you want us to see it, the way that it actually is. And you look at verses 12 and 13 together, and Paul, given liberty to speak here, says, but the rest speak I, not the Lord. So this is coming from a man's experience, just like you and I. Paul, having been married, he's giving this experience here, and it says, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. I've been asked the question a lot of times, and I've not had a direct answer, just to be honest with you. I've heard people say, well, you know, these people were married before they were saved, so what does that mean? The vow is still a vow. The vow is still made. And the Word of God still stands in what it stands and what it's saying. But if you look what it says here, if you be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. That means, oh, okay, I realize now I'm a believer, and now I'm married to somebody who's not a believer. So should I get a divorce? Is that a reason to put my wife away? And the Bible is saying absolutely not, if they're willing to remain together in a peaceful relationship. Absolutely not. They're supposed to stay together. And you see again how it goes back on the other side as well. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. It's saying there's a spirit of reconciliation there. That's one thing you'll see as an underlying theme throughout the Bible. In almost every situation, except for light and darkness, except for believers and Belial, when you've got that stark contrast, but we're talking about people here, it's the spirit of reconciliation is what he's saying. And so if you have a believing husband or a believing wife, they're not supposed to leave the other, but they're supposed to be an example to them. Teach them. Talk to them about going to church and try to lead them to church and lead them to Christ. You see, that's where you never clock out as a Christian. You never clock out. It's always there. And it goes on to say, 1 Peter 3:1, I'm reading a few different verses here that will supporting context. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Again, talking about being a steady testimony, a steady example, and trying to lead the other to Christ. I was thinking about this verse too, or this scripture, Acts 11:14. You remember Cornelius, when he was praying for the Lord to send somebody to preach the gospel to his family. He had heard enough that he wanted, as a Roman, he wanted the gospel. He wanted to hear something about the Lord. He wanted to learn about it. And it goes on to say, under that circumstance, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? So is that just an automatic salvation? No, it means if you hear the gospel, you have steady application of it, that will lead, should lead to salvation. Again, it's a person's choice. It doesn't take a person's choice off the table, but when you have that steady application and exposure to it, it should change our hearts. And you think about how it is in a married relationship, if it's how it's supposed to be, living together closer to each other than anybody else, that's a strong example there, one that will either pull you toward Christ or pull you away from it. I mean, that's really, when you look at it and think about the testimony that's giving there and what it's talking about. Now you look, you go down to verse number 14. It's talking about being sanctified. Now look at this. It says here, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." It's talking about turning a page here. I think sometimes people get hung up in their past and maybe what they've known up to a certain point. And they stay in that and they think this is how it is. This is how it's always going to be. It's not going to be any better than this, any different than this. But I believe with all my heart, anybody that takes the Word of God and applies it has a new way of life. And I mean that with every fiber in my being. There should be a change in what takes place there. You say, well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. But yet somebody shared the gospel with me and I accepted Christ. And then I start applying that in my life. The life that I once had and knew should not be the new life that I have now. There should be a change. The life and what they're talking about here, the way Paul is talking about this, is when somebody that was lost, unbelieving, they're sanctified. That means they're set apart. They're seeing something different. And I think it's important that we, our spouses, see something different in us and how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to be. That's two very unifying, very influential parts of life that not only affect us, but it affects our children. I think one of the examples, I've never really used it for husband and wife, but I used it for buddies. You know, who you run together with is who you're like. And I've had dogs, but I'd pretend that they were hunting dogs. They're lap dogs, they're pets, they're spoiled rotten, they don't know anything about the outside and the dangers thereof. Okay, I'll put that out there. But beagles, I've always been told, be careful if you put two together, they will start running off. And they will start going after a scent and they'll chase after that and the other one won't stop the other one. They push each other. It's like they continually drive each other and they just keep going until they're lost and then they're gone. That's why a lot of these hunters put trackers on them so they can keep up with them, because they don't know any better. They just start chasing after things. Now, you look at what it's like with a young couple getting married. Somebody's going to have to be willing to pump the brakes. Somebody's going to have to be willing to say, you know, the Lord might not want us to do whatever this is. The Lord might not want us to live this way. Somebody's got to be willing to stop. You know, that's that influence. Somebody's got to be strong enough and not just have the attitude, well, if you're okay with things, then I'm okay with things. Well, it'll not be what God intended it to be if that's the way people are living. And so when you look at it from this perspective, it talking about one being a believer and the other not being a believer, that they're sanctified, they're set apart, that exposure makes a difference. And in verse number 15 here, it says, "But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart." I'll be honest, this verse has probably been the hardest one that I've run into yet under the topic. "But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace." Now what does that mean? Okay, that's the loophole. That's the one we've been looking for. If we're under this circumstance here, that's the one that's going to relieve us. That's the one that we can claim that, and then we move forward in a certain way, then we're done. What this is talking about here, if you have a believing spouse and you have that wild beagle that's not willing to turn around, the believing spouse is not supposed to chase after him. They're supposed to stop and say, I cannot go that way. A lot of times people will think they can change somebody. I think in young relationships, this is probably a good piece for of advice for young people who are in the dating scene. I've heard it said. I've heard it said before. You know, this person is like this, and usually maybe the girl will say, "Yeah, but I'm changing him." I wouldn't go that route before marriage. If you have to change him before you get married, just go on down the road. There's somebody else. You know, we're not in the remodeling business before we build a house, right? I mean, no, let's build the house right the first time. Let's do it right. And I believe that is exactly what it's talking about here. We see here, if it's one that is pulling away and running away, it's saying that you're not under bondage to stay in that marriage, not to try to reconcile it. That's the difference from what you see before, where you have two believers where they're supposed to work it out. You say, well, why is there a difference? If you have two believers and they're both following Christ, there should be some unification there. There should be some unification. You look at it like this, the Lord kind of laid it on my heart this way, and I know it might be an extreme situation, but you think about salvation, what we have in being saved, we're secured for eternity, but what about the ones who are not saved? And they face the Lord and they say, "Lord, but I've done all these things. I've done all these things in your name." What does the Lord say? He didn't say, "Come on, Brother Allen, your word, you're that's right. Depart from me, I never knew you." I see, and I'm not trying to take anything out of context, but I see some comparisons here about knowing Christ and not knowing Christ. If you're married to him, you're married to him. And if you're not, you're not. And those who are not, when the Lord comes back or if they pass away, they will hear that one day. "Sadly, depart from me that I never knew you. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace." God has called these people to peace. Now, when you read that verse, I want you to know the verses that come before it still stand. They still stand exactly like they stood before we read this verse. Because you can say, "Oh, it changes everything." It doesn't. I think that's a sad and a hard situation. I'm not going to claim to have all the answers for everything, but the Bible says if somebody is married and they leave their husband and spouse, they are to remain unmarried, is what the Bible says. And if people get married again, that's what it goes into in talking about adultery and other things. It's making another vow to somebody else. Because here's the thing, if you make a vow, the vow has been made. It doesn't mean a person can't be forgiven, but once the vow is made, the vow has been made. Because if you can undo a vow, then you can undo any vow. And why are we even talking about this? And I look at it very much so, one of the bigger meanings behind it, one of the things I think about it a lot is, again, the husband of one wife for a preacher and a deacon. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. You know, people who carry on outside of that shouldn't be carrying on. I mean, I don't mind to say it. Heaven forbid if something happened to me and Brandy, I would not feel right carrying on. I wouldn't. You can't change the Word of God because your circumstance changes. It is what it is, regardless who you are. It is what it is. But I'm going to hurry on with this right here, our last verse. And again, the importance of a Christian influence in marriage. It says, again, verse 16, it says, "For what knowest thou, O wife?" It's slowing down. Paul's slowing down here and saying, "For what knowest thou?" What do we know if we're not trying this, if we don't see this through the way he's teaching this? "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband?" What if that is what God has allowed to happen for your spouse to find him, to find the Lord, to be saved? That's an important situation to be in there. And then he goes on also, "Or knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" You know, I don't know what it was like to live back in those times. And again, remember, this is Paul's response to a church. They're asking, you have people they hadn't had the Word of God. This was a Gentile church. They didn't have tradition. Their tradition was do whatever. But now that we are trying to follow the Word of God, we need to know what the Word of God says. Paul, what do we do? How do we carry on in this life? How are we supposed to be? And that's why Paul is answering this the way that he's answering it. He's saying, look, you know, don't give up just because one might be lost, and don't give up on that relationship. Be that example. And that's what Paul is teaching here. That's what he's trying to bring through. But I'm going to stop there. That's the break that I wanted to stop at before going through the rest of that. I know my Bible has it going all the way down through the 24th verse there. But I wonder if anybody has anything